the Spud Goodman Radio Show. And here is the studio orchestra of the Spud Goodman Show, sartorially regaled in sequined jumpsuit and cantilevered pompadour, the world's only accordion-playing Elvis impersonator, Accordion Joe.
Here comes the Spud Man, he goes down easy. He calls to you who, the social outcast. Yes, you who are rejected. He wants you, he needs you, he loves you. Here comes the Spud Man, he goes down easy. Here comes the Spud Man.
It's the Spud Goodman Show. Let's get ready. Trumbo! And here he is, the head cheese meister. It's Spud Goodman.
Greetings and our hola. My birth name is in fact Spud. Spud Goodman.
The Spud Man.
And welcome to my little radio show. As I've said on many occasions, I prefer to think that size isn't everything. I mean, yeah, it'd be nice to be huge, but at my age, I've come to terms with the cards I've been dealt. Being tiny does offer a few benefits that I'm grateful for, like I do not have ulcers and a stress attack each time the ratings book, you know, comes in, because when you're minuscule, people cut you slack. In my romantic life, not so much, you know. But I know I could have wasted my life in another meaningless career. I'm sure some listeners right now can relate to a dead-end job. Am I right on that one? Yeah. Well, not everyone can be successful and attain stardom is what I'm getting at, you know, and what you do. And if you're one of those who has, you know, actually been wildly successful at everything you've ever attempted, well, maybe right now you should, like, ditch us and tune in to, say, Ryan Seacrest's Top 40 show or maybe that Dave Ramsey's program.
Americans love a winner.
For everyone else, thank you for taking the time out of your busy lives to spend some time with me. Now I need to introduce our show's designated laugher, my Aunt Dorothy. Give the people a decent chuckle, if you would.
Okay. How's this?
Yeah, that'll work.
Fine.
Yeah. So I also need to acknowledge our show's temporary permanent co-host, Gerald Holcomb. You can say four words. That's one more than I normally allow. Oh. I'm in a good mood today. Oh.
Four words. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that is an improvement.
Correct.
You know, I've had difficulty with expressing myself with your two-word limit when I do this intro. Okay, how about this? I am excited to... Spud, I need two more words, at least. I need to complete the sentence by saying, be here.
I'm sorry you can't be creative enough in expressing your thoughts and feelings in a succinct fashion.
I don't think it's going to happen.
So moving on, I thought would be a really good topic to discuss on the show is the impending invasion of robots in our society, all right? Now, I brought it up recently when I was interviewing Deepak Chopra. I mean, they are coming in all phases of our lives really, really soon. It's going to be really scary.
You know, I know we've discussed artificial intelligence on the show last year, and I'm well aware of your fears of our world being
well-founded
overtaken
fear.
By... Well, anyway, being taken over by non-humans. But I personally feel you're overreacting a bit.
No. I am with Spud on this one. I will go down fighting, though, as I won't let a robot take over my life.
Well, if it is war they want, then war they shall have!
Well, okay, but what if it could make your life better?
No way. Unless it can do some stuff I hate doing, like cleaning my cat's litter box. Oh, and maybe take out the garbage when it rains.
You know what? Really, I'm pretty sure that technology is just around the corner.
Yeah, but what else is waiting around the corner? That's the question. Now, I've been doing some reading up on this, and it has really freaked me out. Do you know we are less than 5 years from driverless cars all over this country?
Well, yeah, and that's going to bring safety to our nation's highways. There's nothing to fear from that, Spud.
Oh,
boy. Since when did he become Elon Musk? This from a guy who still has a VCR.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you think a guy like you would be clamoring for the return of the horse and buggy.
Oh, please. You know what? That's an Amish crack, isn't it? You know that I and the Mormon Church have no connection to that small community in our country. What I'm trying to say here is you can't stop progress, so you might as well embrace it as, you know, there's exciting innovations coming our way.
Alive!
Well, I just can't buy this.
Not a scientist.
I just can't buy this new George Jetson thing. You, of all people, telling me to embrace the future?
Well,
you're a generation removed from sister wives at your family reunions.
Okay.
No, that's not funny. That's
it's
the truth.
Very funny.
The truth.
Spud, those were my great uncle's wives, not my parents' families, okay? I should have never told you that. That was in private. What I'm trying to say is we're in the midst of a new technological revolution, somewhat similar to the Industrial Revolution this country experienced in the 19th century.
You know, this is starting to sound like a show from the History Channel. If our listeners want to know the plight of displaced workers in 1890, they can go to a lot more credible sources of information than you. Now, let's get back on topic here. So the robots are about to invade our lives, and I say we need to get prepared.
Yes!
I am prepared. When Big Brother sends a robot knocking at my door, I will have a nice surprise waiting.
I don't know. Robots are pretty difficult to stop, Aunt Dorothy. I don't think we can beat them.
Hell no, you can't!
Have you seen any of those RoboCop movies? I mean, yeah, they were all but they do give us a peek into what we might be facing.
Oh, I don't plan to do anything physically to stop them. I'm not dumb.
Okay.
But I do have a little plan that, well, I'd rather keep to myself.
Really? Well, we're going to talk about that a little later, right?
Hey, but yeah.
Right now, I need to introduce our musical guest, who I will be speaking with a little later on in the program, too. Here is Down North.
Showtime! Hey, brush and a mirror, that's all that she needs. Lost up in the rhythm, she can't control her beat. Yeah.
is the Spud Goodman Show. This is the Spud Goodman Show.
Hey, it's your man JB Smooth. I don't give a damn about no damn Spud. What grown man named Spud any damn way? I'm just saying in general. Listen to him if you want to. I don't listen to his ass. I don't give a damn about his ass. I don't know him. Don't listen to him. Just give a damn if you listen to him.
Spud,
yeah.
Your first guest, Louie Anderson, is holding. You know, you two really seem to get along well on this radio show.
Yeah, I had him on my old TV show years ago, too. He's always been a down-to-earth dude. Very cool guy.
You know, I'm still doing a few open mic nights, you know, as far as my stand-up comedy career goes. I was wondering if you could ask Louie if I might be able to open for him next time he comes up to Seattle.
That's ridiculous.
Number one, it's a bit of a stretch to call what you do at a couple open mics a career. And secondly, there's no way in hell I'm going to ask Louie if you can open for him.
Oh. That would be like a karaoke night regular asking to open for you, too. It's not realistic.
Yeah, but I would do it for free. And maybe just I would do like my strongest 20 minutes.
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
You have maybe one or two semi-okay knock-knock jokes. So you're looking at doing your strongest 45 seconds, huh? I mean, just put Louie through, please.
Yeah. All right, very well. But you know what? Louie is going to be upset later when he learns that I offered my services to him and you blocked me. But here he is.
Welcome back to the show, Louie Anderson, one of our favorite guests. Actually, Louie, you might be our all-time favorite, but I don't want to make a few other guests who I won't name, you know, feel I chose you over them, so I should probably just stick with one of our favorites. How the heck are you, man?
I'm good, Spud. How are you?
Excellent. Okay, well, yeah.
I'm glad.
Yeah, you have a new book out titled, Hey Mom, Stories for My Mother, but you can read them too. So what's it about?
Well, you know, Spud, I was playing my mom on Baskets, the TV show that I'm on.
Yes.
With Zach Galifianakis, where I play his mother.
Yes.
And I started asking myself these questions about being a mother, and I started writing letters to my mom in my phone, and I said, you know what? I love this, and I sent one of the letters to my manager, and he suggested we go to the publisher and see if it could be a book, and I said, okay, and the next thing you know, they asked me to write this book, and I actually kind of like got in touch from playing that part, and I had so many questions from my mom that I never got to ask her when she was alive that I just felt like I should get them all out, and so the book is a comedy, and it's a book about those kind of, you know, feelings I had, and also
right.
I asked those questions in the book that I didn't get to ask my mom on Earth here.
Okay, super. Well, let's touch for a brief moment on your Emmy Award-winning role as Christine Baskett. So it airs on Fox, people can catch it on demand right now. But specifically, the new hairdo in season 3. I liked it. I like it a lot. Did they have to focus group it before the decision was made to try to do something a little different with the bangs?
No, they just, because Christine went to this women's conference with Lori Guinier, and Christine wanted to change her look, and she decided that she should go with bangs, and they didn't ask anybody, but, you know, I've asked people, what do you think? And it's about a 60-40 thing for the bangs, so we'll see if they stay or if they go. You know, it's always up to the creators. I'm, you know, one of the actors on the show, but I don't create the show. I just try to make it the best I can.
Well, put my vote in for Pro Bang. So let's, how about season 4?
All right,
season 4?
I will, Bud.
Season 4.
Bud Goodman wants Bang.
Thank you. Thank you for writing that down. So season 4, I'm into the show heavily, so it would suck if some suit took it away from us. Will there be a season 4?
Well, I heard that in the interview, Zach was talking to somebody, and they said it was a season 4. But, you know, with television, you just kind of, you know, as an actor, you hold your breath and hope that you'll have a season 4. And so I'm excited about the idea of it. I'm planning for it. And I haven't cut my bangs yet, so I think things could go our way.
Super. Well, you also have a new comedy special out, Big Underwear, that will be available at a bunch of places like Amazon, Comcast, DirecTV, iTunes, and others. You really don't like downtime. How do you find any time to do much binge-watching, you know, TV shows yourself? I mean, that's a daily ritual for me after I have breakfast and maybe brush my teeth.
You know, I did. I caught up on all my FX shows. You know, I got to watch, you know, all of my episodes. Who've been there for a long, long time.
Spud? Yeah. If I may, as someone who is very concerned about your physical and mental health, your binge watching is now out of control.
Oh, hey, Louie, just a sec.
Yeah.
Who made you a doctor or mental health practitioner? I mean, yeah, binge watching is important to me, and it's a daily ritual. So what?
I have mentioned this to you before, Gerald. This is nothing new for Spud. Way back, as a little kid, he would watch TV all day and even continue to watch the screen after the stations would sign off and they put the test pattern until the next morning. The TV has a real hold on him.
Thank God stations stay on the air 24/7 nowadays, you know. That test pattern got old after a couple hours. My eyes got blurry.
Well, I don't see why any healthy individual would waste his or her life watching program after program. Now, with all these choices, one person could never leave their couch, maybe, or to use the restroom, or get a snack.
That's what catheters are for. The other excretory need, I time to coincide with, like, commercials or breaking news that cuts into programming. Now, let me get back to my good friend, Louie. I have returned.
Let's do it.
Well, let me hit you with this one. On the show, we're discussing what the world would be like when everything is automated. Do you think stand-up comedy is safe from robots taking that over, too?
You know, I think that robots would do fine with the jokes, but I think when it got to the ad-lib or the hecklers, they'd have a little bit of a difficult time.
That's a good point. Yes, all right. That's all. Okay.
But well, I wouldn't put it past it happening.
Yeah, anything to cut costs. So the last time we talked, you said you now limit your time on the slots to a friend's machine at his house. How's your luck been? I didn't ask if at least spit out a fake ticket or something, you know, and said it's $3,000 or $4,000.
No, you know what my friend does with his slot machine at his house? If you hit it, it pays out the coins that are in it. It's a fantastic thing.
Oh, that would
be. But most people just leave the coins there for the next person.
You know, I might have to find a friend with a machine, too, because I've been getting killed lately. I mean, totally killed. And, it might help me, like, not go through withdrawals if I, like, lay off them for a while. I'm going to think about that. So I appreciate that tip.
I think you should buy yourself your own machine so that when you win or when you lose, you still win.
Oh, I never thought about buying my own. That's okay. I just wrote that down. Good idea. All right. Well, you know, this is the last question because I know you got a whole bunch of stuff to do. You know, Louie, as the second youngest of 11 children. Yeah, it's, yeah, I know.
You're very funny, by the way.
Wow. How much do I owe you for saying that, man? Thank you. Appreciate that.
Nothing, Spud. You just a roll of nickels.
All right. Cool. That's cool. But hey, you know, you were the second youngest of 11 children in your family. Did you find that you know, to this day, that having to battle for your fair share of stuff, did that maybe, you know, I'm sure you were on the short end of a bunch of things. So did that maybe help you with the competitive nature of, like, say, stand-up comedy?
Yeah, I think it did. I think it made me realize that, hey, no matter what anybody did before me or after me, I needed to make sure that people remembered what I did. And so, you know, I didn't really compete in that sense, but I really wanted to get my own. You know, piece of the pie, and you know, if you look at me, you can see I got more than one piece of the pie.
Yeah, well, we all have, so yeah, I got you. All right, well, like I said, you got to scoot, so let me see again. You have both a new book out, Hey Mom, Stories for My Mother, But You Can Read Them Too, which is now available everywhere, and also a comedy special, Big Underwear, now available for viewing. Hey, all right, I just, and this is from my heart, I want to thank you so much for coming back on our show, because off the record, you are our favorite guest, all right?
All right, thank you so much, and if you can get a signed copy of Hey Mom for your mom at louieanderson.com.
Super. Hopefully we'll talk again. Take care, man.
There's still more fun and excitement in store in the second half of the Spud Goodman Radio Show right after this brief intermission.
He had no money, he had no sense in his brain. He was Spud Goodman, But that didn't get in his way. He was a blind receiver on the wall of shame. And all the people joined in, cause they like how he swayed. Cause he swayed like this. That's Spud Goodman.
That's Goodman.
Spud Goodman.
Spud Goodman.
Spud Goodman.
Spud Goodman.
Spud Goodman.
Spud Goodman.
Spud.
Good.
Spud.
Man.
We now return to more action-packed thrills and excitement on the Spud Goodman Radio Show.
You know, Spud, I feel your concern about driverless cars is off the mark. I really do. Think of all the advantages that we're going to have at our disposal.
Yeah, tell that to the 5 million people in America who drive vehicles to pay the rent, like, I don't know, truck drivers, UPS guys, I don't know. What about like the pizza guys too? I can accept the Roomba being unleashed on the world. Sure, a few house cleaners might have lost their jobs, you know. But tidier floors for all of us is a reasonable trade-off job-wise. I know without my own Roomba, my apartment would be unlivable. But what are the 5 million drivers going to do? If anyone in that group is now wearing one of those Make America Great Hat agains, well, just maybe they might want to think about going with a sun visor or a stocking hat instead real soon.
And it only makes common sense.
Spud, you know, I wear my Make America Great Again hat proudly. So
not when you're seen in public with me.
I don't think I'll be switching headwear anytime soon.
But you work on a radio show and also at a carpet store.
Good one.
Yeah, well, it's a carpet and linoleum store, Spud. South Seattle Carpet and Linoleum is the third highest in gross sales of linoleum in the state.
South Seattle Carpet and Linoleum.
We are very proud of our numbers this last quarter.
I'll take the blame for teeing up that free store plug, but no more of those, okay? Did everyone on the soundboard hear me?
Sir, yes, sir.
Okay, besides driverless cars, I'm freaked out about automated fast food drive-thrus. You know, I enjoy my brief chats with the staff at Dairy Queen, and soon we'll all be talking to Alexis with no human contact.
That's going to be brutal. You know, I read by 2030, there could be between 400 to 800 million jobs worldwide replaced by automation. Yeah. That's going to be a lot of people around the globe walking at malls during the day to kill time.
You know what? I would expect a number of those workers to find new jobs in different industries, some of which are maybe not now in existence.
Maybe, but there's still going to be a ton of people left out who will be clogging up our freaking malls, wandering around aimlessly. You know, I hate going to the malls now, and think about that mass humanity. It's just going to be unbearable, especially like at Christmas shopping time, the only time I'll actually go to a mall.
Right. And
I have to.
Well, I know, but think of the lines at the movie theaters at their bargain matinees. That is the only time I will go to a theater, and I will probably have to sit either in the back row with the crying babies or, worse, in the front row with the big mouths who think they are in their own living room and they can't stop talking at the screen.
Get them out of here.
Yeah, okay.
Right away.
Again, you two are overreacting. Sure, some people will remain unemployed, but they'll be taken care of by our safety net. There's no need to worry.
Those Americans who do not belong to your church have a lot to worry about. If they can't find a job in 2030, I mean, there's reason to worry here. That safety net you referred to is getting more worn by the day. I doubt it'll be in one piece by that time. You know, maybe people can get a voucher for, say, a can of SpaghettiOs or something, but I think we're looking at a Mad Max Terror Dome deal myself.
Oh.
And I know I can't beat a flipping robot in a battle to the death.
Yeah, now you're sounding downright irrational. The United States of America will not deteriorate into a dystopian pit of misery. My gosh. But
really?
You watch too many movies. Cut back on your Netflix time.
Hey, bud, what's your problem?
Well, I'm a Hulu person myself, and I see of A Handmaid's Tale in our future. Margaret Atwood was very prescient.
Well, they're going to have to pry my Netflix from my cold, dead hands. Dude, check and see if our next guest is ready.
Okay, and I am being told, Spud, that your next guest, Tom Green, is waiting to speak with you. Now, he's been on the show on many occasions, too, right?
Yeah, and most of the time, he's doing something else while he's being interviewed by me. Either Tom is a very busy guy, or he feels we're like as important as cleaning up the dog poop in his backyard.
Ooh,
yeah.
Hey, wait. Was Tom cleaning up dog poop the last time he was on the show?
No, I think he was on a walk or something.
Hmm.
I'm sort of, you know, envious. Tom has so much going on in his life where he has to, you know, like, double book on his to-do list. I'm lucky to have maybe one thing a day on my list, and that's brushing my teeth before bedtime.
Well, I'm glad to hear you're brushing your teeth regularly, Spud. Your parents spent so much money on your teeth while you were growing up.
I gotta admit the truth. It turned me on.
Well, I don't really have any more unfilled teeth left, so cavities are a thing of the past. Hey, just put Tom through before he starts, like, mowing the lawn, vacuuming, or something else really loud.
Yeah, okay, here he is.
Welcome back to the show, comedian and actor Tom Green. Hola, Mr. Green.
Yeah.
Hola. When is Tom? Dias. Buenos dias.
Yeah. All right. Super. Well, so you'll be back in the Northwest area on the 20th and 21st with two shows, 7:30 and 10 p.m. at the Parter Live Comedy Club. So I'm guessing you know the area already, and you don't need any tips on, like, the good fast food places or bowling alleys. But if you do, just message me. I'm just saying, when you're in town.
I always like to know about good fast food places, so you can let me know any tips. I know I'm going to be down at Parlor Live having fun telling jokes every night, so that's going to be taking up most of my time. It's going to be good to be back up in the Seattle area.
Yeah. So let's get an update on what's happening in the life of one Tom Green. The last few times we spoke, you were batch processing, kind of. You know, one time you were on a train and the other time you were on a walk somewhere. You're kind of breathing heavily.
Yeah.
So hopefully now you're in a safe place and won't jeopardize your health while we do this thing.
I remember that. I remember when I talked to you on the train. You know, I'm actually comfortably in my house in Los Angeles right now. I'm getting ready to go do some shows up in Vancouver, and then I'm coming down to Seattle, and then San Francisco, and then I have a residency that I'm doing in Las Vegas, and we're starting up new shows at Harrah's Casino in May, so I'll be in Las Vegas as well every Sunday and Monday night. So I'm just doing tons of stand-up and touring, and I'm having a blast.
Yeah, hey, we're on Las Vegas Public Radio down there, so that's cool. But, you know, I saw a picture of you with Wayne Newton when you were performing at Bally's in Vegas a while back. Hey, I wanted to know, did the Waynester let you ride on one of his Arabian horses at his place? Because he's got a bunch of them. I mean, I've only ridden like a Shetland pony a couple years ago. It was kind of fun, but I bet his horses are really, really big. Did he let you ride any of them?
You know, I didn't actually go over to his house, but we were performing together, like, in the same casino at Bally's. And had the pleasure of meeting the legendary Wayne Newton, which was pretty cool. But we're moving over to a bigger venue at Harrah's,
okay,
which is really exciting.
Yeah, you know, Spud.
Yeah.
Well, my wife and I would love to see Wayne Newton someday. Our problem is we could never ever enter a house of gambling to see him. That would go against what we believe in.
Oh, hey, man, I need a sec.
Okay.
What? You won't go into a casino? Seriously?
No.
Some of the major highs and lows in my life have occurred in a casino. Maybe mostly lows, but those few highs I've experienced are some of the most memorable moments I've ever had. Have you ever won, like, a really big jackpot on a slot machine? It's awesome.
Oh, there's really nothing like it. When you hit it big, this feeling overcomes you. I would say it's much more pleasurable than sex, to be honest. No disrespect to my sweetie Chance.
Dorothy, I don't want to know about your sex life with Chance the intern, okay?
Yeah, all right. But it is a healthy part of life.
Whatever. I just don't want to hear about it.
Listen, my wife and I are no prudes. We play bingo often at our church, and on occasion, we'll buy a lottery ticket.
I doubt Wayne will be playing at any bingo halls, so forget about seeing him live. Now let me get back to Tom. All right, I'm sorry about that, man. Are you still there?
I'm good to go, absolutely.
Let me hit you with this. Tom, you know, back when you were on The Apprentice, yeah, I had to ask this question. Did you ever hear Donald Trump brag much off camera? I mean, he does it nonstop these days. He sounds like a WWE wrestler. So, you know, did he ever crow a bit off camera?
I know the president of the United States.
I know you do.
I know him. Yeah, the president knows me. Anyone who knows me should probably not be president. But I did get to hang out with him a little bit off camera, and he's pretty much exactly the same off camera as he is on camera. So you can't say that he's not keeping it real. But you know, some people like that. Some people don't like that so much. It depends on who you ask. I'm Canadian, so I try not to weigh in on politics too much. This is your problem. But
thank you for that. Did you ever hear him talk about grabbing anything?
You know, he didn't talk about that. I mean, to be completely honest with you, he was always very genuine and nice personally when you would talk to him, you know, in the hallway and stuff. But you know, it's a whole other you know thing when you talk about what he's like when he's giving a political speech or. You know, certainly, you know, I can't vote again, so I'm Canadian. This is not my problem.
Are you? I thought you were a naturalized U.S. citizen too. Are you not?
I am a Canadian citizen. Yeah, I am Canadian citizen. Well, yeah, but I've been living here in the country for almost 20 years now, and I do love this country, you know, and I hope my old boss is able to do good things for this country. Hope he's able to. You know, pull it together and
yeah, we kind of hope that too. We kind of hope that us Americans. I was just curious though, as a Canadian citizen, do you ever flinch a bit when you hear a knock on the front door these days? I mean, it could be ICE or it could be the pizza guy. You never know. I flinch, and I was born in New Jersey, so I was just curious.
Yeah, you know, I'm a permanent resident of the U.S., so I'm essentially as close to being a citizen as one can be. So.
Doesn't mean you couldn't or wouldn't flinch. You know, I'm just saying that's I'm just being real here myself. But all right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, did you leave that apprentice on good terms with the Donald? I mean, that dude holds a grudge, so I hope so.
You know, I got fired because I went out drinking with Dennis Rodman. And the next day I wrote the president of the United States a letter on Trump Tower stationery, explaining the reason why I went out drinking with Dennis Rodman. I said, you know, I'm a comedian, and you know, I thought it would be funny for the show. I know it wasn't the most business-like decision in the world, but you know, I wanted the show to be funny, and he actually brought me back on the show. So it's very rare for somebody who gets fired as early as the third episode to get brought back on the show. So I think we left on good terms.
Cool.
You know, I don't talk a lot about politics in my show, though. You know, my stand-up is about, you know, I do touch on it because I know the president, but I really talk about a wide variety of issues and absurd observations on the world and just random subjects. So do a lot of crowd work. It's a really fun, high-energy night. You know, I was up last night at the Comedy Store in Los Angeles and at the Improv in LA. I did two shows last night here. And, you know, I'm used to performing for different audiences all over the country.
All right. Well, you know, Tom, on the show, we're talking about robots maybe taking over everything. I asked Louis Anderson earlier if he was worried as a stand-up comedian that, you know, maybe Alexa will take the stage one day and destroy. Are you concerned about this possibly happening yourself?
I do think that it is a concern. I mean, you know, I often, you know, wish we were still living in a world phone. You know, I just, I've been trying personally to leave in the car when I go into a restaurant or when I go out with friends, I leave my phone at home because, you know, everyone else has a phone, so I don't need to have my phone with me. If there's an emergency, I'll use their phone. So it's, and I find it's a lot more relaxing whenever I don't have my phone on me. And so that's I think something that I think people might start becoming more conscious of. It's just sort of trying to disconnect a little bit more, you know, especially with everything that's going on with the, you know, with politics. People are so angry about what's happening right now.
A little bit,
depending on who you ask.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of nice to just sort of like extricate yourself from that argument a little bit.
All right. All right.
Hours a day.
Well, let me close this conversation with this last one. Tom Green, what is the one thing you really want to do but haven't been able to make it happen so far?
I want to climb to the top of the pyramids.
Oh, which one?
The Great Pyramid in Giza. I want to climb to the top of the pyramid in Egypt and just sit up there. I don't know if you're allowed to do that, but that's definitely something that I really would like to do at some point in my life.
Super. You might want to like start a pre-workout program, because that would be a little taxing, I would think. I don't know how you deal with heat exhaustion and things like that. At least hydrate heavily before you try it.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, let me remind everyone that you will be at the Parlor Live Comedy Club on the 20th and 21st with two shows, 7:30 and 10 p.m. Thanks a whole bunch for coming back on our show.
And I love it. Thank you so much.
Mr. Tom Green.
All right. Cheers. Bye.
For all who love beautiful music, there's one program you must hear.
This is the Spud Goodman Show.
Okay, it's musical guest interview time. Please say hello to a very lively band down north. Gentlemen, identify yourselves. Name, rank, and serial number, please.
Anthony Briscoe, lead singer.
Nicholas Quiller, guitar player.
Brandon Storms, bass player.
All right. Well done. So you guys played at South by Southwest this year. Mm-hmm. How was it? I mean, did you get like 8 square feet to perform in like a lot of bands?
It was very interesting. We started out with six shows, and then we ended up with like 13.
Wow.
Yeah. So we just was like going from club to club, just, you know, asking, could we play? And then, you know, just melting people's faces and walking away, taking numbers. You know, that's what we do, collect fans.
Super. We've had a lot of musicians on our show that have played the festival. Mm-hmm. And our tiny studio is like Madison Square Garden compared to some of the performance spaces there. So maybe you got lucky. I don't know.
It was a one.
Okay. All right. Super. All right. Well, let me hit you with this. What's the band's official position on Troll Farms?
Russia, if you're
Troll
listening.
Troll Farms, huh? That's a very good question.
Yeah.
It gets us a record deal.
No, but the thing is, you know, a lot of you know, the industry used them early in when social media was starting. So, mm-hmm. you know, there's reports that Lady Gaga's numbers was fake. When they first, you know, it's a lot of people's beginning numbers start out that
Nicki
way.
Nicki Minaj's numbers are still fake.
Yeah, yeah. But
on
the end of the day, it's all about the engagement. If your engagements aren't really there,
right,
then it really doesn't matter. I mean, you can have, you know, a million people, and if 10% of those people, you know, are all fake and nobody's really doing nothing, then you short like a midget. So.
Right. Well, I don't know. I personally have never seen a troll. I have no clue how many trolls it takes to make up a herd or even a gaggle. So I don't know. I'm not an expert on the topic, but I guess you guys are. Well, let me ask you this. Is there a band out there that you guys would bow down to? Someone you really, really admire?
All Minds Are Dead. Prince dead, Michael's dead, James dead, the Beatles dead. Everybody else sucks.
Yeah, but down north's still alive. I mean,
leaves wide open.
Down north
you.
Is yeah. still alive. That's yeah. for the record.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Okay, super. So, what are the mid range career goals for the band at this point?
You go big or you go home. We don't do mid range.
Okay, I like that. Wow. All right. Well, what's the name of the next song and what's it about?
It's called Love Don't Know My Name, and it's just about, you know, people who feel like they're not being, you know, love is just missing them over and over and over and over. They're like, I just want to give up. You know, it's like, it's my own fault. It's like looking inward and saying, is it my fault why things keep happening the way they are? You know, so it's just that question.
Cool. You know? Let's hear it.
All right. Ready, guys? 1, 2, 3, 2. With a solid kiss, and a sea to my broken heart, and I can't resist the sanguineous bliss paid apart, and I can't deny. Don't
nothing else explains all this, oh Lord. And I can't deny I've been there before. I knew what's in store. And why and I even try, I was tempted by forever, like I'm off to a flame. But love don't know my name. I've been there before. I knew what's in store. But love don't know my name. I should have known better. No, not to blame. But love don't my name. Oh, love, no. Love don't my name. I've been there. Been there. Oh, oh.
This is the Spud Goodman Radio Show.
What's up, guys? This is the world champion, Judah Friedlander, and you're listening to the Spud Goodman Show. Why? Because you're a winner.
Spud, your last guest, Paige Van Zandt, is on the line for you.
Okay.
You know, when she was on the show last year, I had no idea women were MMA fighters in that oblong. I later watched one of Paige's fights on that YouTube. My son, Gerald Jr., he's a big fan of hers, I guess.
Can you keep a secret?
Yeah, I'm betting a lot of teenage boys are fans of Paige's. But anyway, I've seen a few of her fights, and she is one tough cookie. Uh-huh. I sure wouldn't mess with her in the ring Actually, it's called an octagon, not oblong. She has a new book out about her experiences in and out of the octagon.
Well, I say women are much tougher than men. My ex-husband fainted when he passed a kidney stone.
Ooh.
Yeah, guys should try pushing out a kid down there. Not fun.
It's not that easy.
Yeah, I totally believe women are tougher. No doubt about it. I mean, I could never, deal with shaving my armpits. If I was a woman, I would just move to Paris, France, or somewhere where it's still cool to have, hairy armpits.
Yeah.
Anyway.
European.
Could someone put Paige through, please?
Welcome back to the show. MMA fighter, model, runner-up in the 2016 Dancing with the Stars, and now author, Paige Van Zandt. Thanks for checking in with us again.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so you have a new book out titled Rise, Surviving the Fight of My Life. It details your initial contact with first boxing, I believe, and then mixed martial arts. And I guess this was growing up following some bullying incidents. I think that's something we can all relate to. What specifically did you have to deal with?
I got into fighting, not necessarily because of all the incidences that I went through, but I got into it just as an outlet. And everybody experiences bullying in a different way. I would say mine was pretty significant, and luckily I found fighting to help cope with that.
Okay, super. Well, the scouting report on you in the ring says you're a relentless fighter who will often fight on the ground at times where you have a big edge. Do you have a... I read that you had a blue belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Is that correct?
I do. And, you know, actually, I just now got that from my coach, Fabiano Scherner. And I know somehow people thought that I've had it for years, but just got my blue belt.
Huh, super. So I have to ask you this. What's it feel like to get punched in the face? I haven't been hit there since, like, the second grade, and it was more of a slap, actually. But it still hurt. How do you handle the constant, you know, I guess pain of the punches to all sorts of body parts?
No, you know, you just kind of deal with it, and that's kind of the deciding factor when you walk into a gym is after you take the first punch to the face, if you can survive and take another punch to the face. So it's kind of the really determining thing if you're going to be a fighter or not. And for me, you don't notice it in the fight. You don't feel it in the fight. You just kind of register that you did get hit, and you get ready for that.
Dang, I've seen a few photos. I didn't see the actual fights, but you had a little bit of blood does that freak you out when you see that flowing down the face?
Oh, no, that kind of stuff doesn't freak me out.
Yeah, dang, okay, super. Well, you know, as tough as you are in the octagon, do you find people in your life outside of it counting on you to, like, handle things if something should come up with, you know, that calls for fisticuffs or something?
Oh, gosh, no. I mean, I haven't ever had to, like, you know, fight outside of the cage or anything like that. So I try to keep everything in the gym.
I got to be honest. I would love to have a girlfriend who could, like, pound someone if need be, as long as it wasn't me, of course. But, you know,
yes.
Yeah, anyway, all right, super. Well, you know, on this show, we're talking about robots taking over many parts of our lives and also professions. Do you ever see MMA fighters and boxers being replaced someday with robots? I mean, I dig playing Rock'em Sock'em Robots. I still do to this day, actually. But I'm just curious, do you ever see that happening?
You know, I definitely don't know if people would really enjoy watching that. I mean, I guess having a machine, fighting a machine kind of takes the, you know, the excitement out of it.
Yeah, well, my hope is it never happens. Let's just put it that way. But all right.
Spud. Yeah. Well, I think there would be considerable interest in watching robots face off in battle. Now they're so expensive, so, you know, one robot could not totally destroy its opponent. It would have to be like a point system or something.
Paige, just a moment.
Sounds good.
If robots did face off, no one would pay to see them just backpedal around the octagon and do the rope-a-dope, you know, with an occasional jab. And they'd want to fight to the death. The loser would be like a hunk of steel crumpled up in the cage afterwards, and they would just haul it off to a salvage yard or something.
Huh. If there wasn't blood, I would never tune in.
Oh, my gosh. The bloodlust in both of you is, well, really, it's somewhat alarming.
This is America, man. And let me finish this up with Paige. All right, I'm back.
Hey.
Well, I have to ask you about the Dancing with the Stars competition. Did coming in second feel just like losing the World Series or NBA Finals? Is it something that you're going to carry with the rest of your life, or did you just shake it off and move on?
I just shook it off. You know, and I really was just so happy. My goal was to place in the top three. I ended up getting second on Dancing with the Stars, and it was an awesome experience. And being on the show, I was so happy for Niall DeMarco, the fellow that won the whole thing. And he really, really took it home, and I thought he deserved to win. And I was just so happy because once Dancing with the Stars was over, I was able to get back into the cage and focus on so many other things that I have going on in my life.
I got to ask you, though, right now, if you ever go out dancing, do you ever, like pull out some of the tricks in your bag, you know, and just, like, I'm not going to say show off, but, bust a move, something. Do you ever do that at this point?
Gosh, you know, I mean, I wish I could, but I definitely am going to get my fiance to start taking some ballroom classes with me so me and him can show off some of the tricks that we could do.
All right, super. Yeah, that was for the record. All right, well, I know you probably got to get going, do some stuff, work out or whatever, so let me say again that you have a brand new book out titled Rise, Surviving the Fight of My Life. It's available everywhere, so people just need to go look for it. We really appreciate you calling into our show again.
Yep, thank you so much.
And there you have it, Miss Paige VanZant.
My, how time flies.
Spud, I really think both you and your aunt will feel better once you do more research into how a changing economy can be a wonderful thing. You know, at one time, we had the telegraph to communicate to others across this country, and then that technology led to the telephone, and then that led to the internet.
And that led to YouPorn.
The Masturbation Network, keeping America baiting for 300 years.
I know my history, okay?
I don't know about
and
that.
What I'm talking about is I don't think people are prepared for this, and it's going to be a real shock. Oh. Lives are at risk.
No. I am stocking up on canned goods right now, as you never know when that tipping point is going to happen.
Well, you know what? I will have to agree. Stocking up on canned goods and dried foods is a wise course of action.
Thank you.
As you know, our basement is properly stocked with all the necessary commodities should we ever need to be off the grid for an extended period of time.
Yeah, that's why you aren't freaked out about this coming job apocalypse. Everyone in your church has been prepping for this for 150 years. That's an unfair advantage.
Well, what is the question?
Spud, everyone has the choice to prepare for unfortunate events. Some, like you, for example, opt for ignoring common sense choices.
You've been to my apartment. I have no room for a food stash. With all the junk I have around, I can barely put away the groceries I get each week. But speaking of preppers, I read this article on Facebook that said the number six thing that they store up, besides, like, you know, food and water and stuff, are condoms. Are you stocked up on those in your basement?
Okay. That is a private matter between my wife and I. I won't discuss our birth control methods on the air.
Why so serious?
You have three kids. If your wife hasn't made you get snipped by now, Gerald, she needs mental health care.
Yeah, well, my wife is quite sane,
okay,
Mrs. Jarvis.
Okay.
And again, I will not comment on this private matter. I will say this. We're not ashamed to only have three kids, no matter what others say.
Yeah, I guess you guys are models for zero population growth in your circle, huh?
Well, we've undergone a bit of public humiliation, yes, but we've weathered it and have become stronger for it.
Don't be so overly dramatic about it.
Well, regarding our careers, at least in radio, you know, we aren't safe from this coming job of Armageddon. I mean, if they can automate Starbucks, they can do it at all radio stations everywhere. I mean, obviously, everyone knows they're doing it right now. I mean, just listen to the compliant program computerized voices spouting out ad copy, the weather, and the song titles of an occasional tune played. You know, I'm old enough, it's not going to affect me in my career, but kids these days enrolled in radio broadcasting programs might want to get their money back now. I mean, they're going to be just like milkmen, and soon they too will be walking aimlessly at the mall during the day.
Let them know we're on our trail, doing everything we can, but most of all, keep everybody calm.
Oh, well, you know what? At least I have my second job at South Seattle Carpet and Linoleum.
South Seattle Carpet and Linoleum.
You know,
Cool.
I can fall back on that should your doomsday scenario ever take place. I'm positioned to weather this event you seem to believe so strongly is coming. So, yeah, no worries here.
Oh, okay. So you think all the stores dumping their cashiers is just a temporary fad? What makes you think your other employer with that lame ass jingle won't just install scanners and let, you know, all you carpet pushers, you know, go? People can just ask the store Alexa if they have any questions.
These guys, they make millions of dollars. They're smart as hell.
What? No. No. No, they would not do anything of the kind.
Okay. All right.
Listen, we just had a great quarter at the store. No. This would never happen to us longtime loyal employees.
Have you chatted with any Blockbuster employees lately?
Hell will freeze over.
Those lifetime employee discount cards are not worth much these days, you know?
Well.
And don't forget the people who work for Kodak. I still have a bunch of unused film rolls. I guess
yeah,
I
too.
Should have picked up my camera more often,
Okay. All right, but I don't need to hear this. We just took out a second mortgage to buy a timeshare in Salt Lake City. Gosh, I wonder if it's too late to get out of that agreement.
Too late, you know?
Well, if not, I saw some ad on TV. There's a company that will buy people's timeshares when they get sick or go bankrupt.
You might
get 20 cents on the dollar. It's better than nothing.
Yes. I might have been interested if it wasn't in Salt Lake City.
Yeah,
like,
really.
Say, Key West or Aspen. That will be a tough one to unload.
I'm going to make them an offer he can't refuse.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right, you guys, I can feel my blood pressure getting to a level that I'm supposed to begin a deep breathing exercise right now. So, okay, if you don't mind, I'm going to step outside of the studio for a moment, okay?
Yeah, okay. Okay. You know, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but people need to get ready for what's coming.
You had me at hello.
Just don't shoot the messenger.
Oh, I'll go check on him when we're off the air. I'm sure he's fine, probably just hyperventilating a bit.
Yeah, he really needs to toughen up a bit, don't you think?
Yeah.
Okay, but I got to do this now. I am Spud Goodman. Be all that you can be, and I mean that. God bless and ciao.
Bye-bye.
Once again, here is Down North.
Copyright 2018, Spud Goodman Productions.
Help me!